Introducing the all-new Mazda CX-5, featuring more connection.
Hey, Google, where's the nearest Pilates class?
Safety that has your back. More discovery on the scenic routes. More passion in the details. And more control in changing weather. The all-new Mazda CX-5. More to move every side of you. See it in 5 films at MazdaUSA.com/5sides.
Google is a trademark of Google LLC. Sequences shortened and simulated.
If you like your true crime, like you like your coffee,
Red Handed is the podcast for you.
It's dark, intense, and might just keep you up all night.
I'm Hannah.
I'm Saruti. And every week on Red Handed, we break down a different fascinating case.
From the most recent US trials everyone is obsessing over, like Brendan Banfield, Karen Reed, and Ellen Greenberg,
to the most unbelievable stories from around the world, there's nothing we love more than digging into every detail of the cases we cover, getting beyond a basic analysis and cutting to the heart of the story.
Red Handed has over 400 episodes ready to binge right now.
Plus, be sure to check out our weekly sister show, Shorthand, where we unpack everything from the Black Death to Area 51.
If you're looking for smart, detailed true crime with personality, check out Red Handed wherever you get your podcasts.
Self-help, personal growth, life improvement. Multi-level marketing schemes promise riches, better lives, and unimagined happiness. But beneath the surface of this organization was a secret society that drained its members of money, personal autonomy, and even their lives. This week's episode is NXIVM Revisited.
A bump in the night, your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed, you'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinisterhood.
I'm gonna kill you.
So back in the day...
Yes.
We talked about this cult.
Correct.
This sex cult.
I mean, technically it's a sex cult.
Yeah. It's 100% a sex cult, especially now that the trial and everything has happened and a lot more information has come out. There's really no question that it was a sex
cult.
Correct.
There's overwhelming evidence.
Overwhelming evidence, yeah. Well, we talked about this one. It's in the Disney vault now.
Way back when.
Way back when we didn't know what the hell we were doing.
No, it sounded like we climbed into a tin can and just shouted.
Yep,
No organization, no outline. Just a lot of echoes.
How far we've come.
You know,
even
what?
Going back and looking at the outline, I'm using air quotes, from that episode, I texted you and I was like, this is trash. I don't this is unusable. There were like two things, I think, that I was able to pull from that. But this is pretty much all new information revamped information.
And a lot
sure.
of the stuff came out in the trial, so yes. we did not have access to that.
Exactly.
This was over a year ago. So,
yeah.
Well, I guess, yeah, over a
yeah,
year
over
ago.
Over a year ago.
So
yeah.
We're going to get back into this hairy sack of crap. I mean, I have no patience for someone who, I think you and I are both pretty humble. We're both like, thank you. I'm sorry. I don't mean to bother you.
Right.
Like, We're good at what we're good at, I think, but we could always get better.
Sure.
We're open to notes. But I think the people like this guy who just, he genuinely thought he was God. He thought he
yeah.
was Jesus. I mean, genuine thought he was an incarnate of a deity.
I said it in the first one. I'll say it again. Schlub.
He's a schlub. He looks like
a schlub. He is a schlub.
I just also, there's just no way that a deity would look like that.
No,
that he
no.
got
I mean,
rejected
he's not
from
even
a J. Crew
somebody
catalog.
I would want to date.
No.
As the Brits say on Love Island.
Oh, please.
He wouldn't even turn my head.
Oh,
I like that.
That
expression. Yeah.
He wouldn't turn my head.
I've been keeping a list of my favorites. My favorite Love Island phrases. I'm planning on doing something maybe for a mini-sode or the Patreon or something. I want to write them all down and then ask you what you think they mean.
Oh, I love it. I would have no idea. He wouldn't even turn my head.
Yeah, that one's kind of self-explanatory. But the Brits are very good at making things sound prettier than how we say them in a concise fashion.
Oh, I like that.
Instead of saying like, hey, do you think they're good looking? Turn your head. That sounds just much.
Does he turn your head?
Yeah.
He
but
does.
Then they also talk about dick sand. So, you know, it's a balance.
That's so genius. Dick sand. Oh, man. It's whenever you're trying to get away from the
dick.
She
made it. She did not get dumped from the island, by the way.
Oh, no.
I think last episode I was talking about, I was worried Olivia would get dumped from the island.
She's not. She made it.
She's still there. I don't want to spoil too much, though, because I got a lot of people that are watching right now. I just convinced Sally to skip season 2 and just go straight to season 3.
Acclaimed comedian Sally Bowen. One of my favorite.
Oh, she's
female
fantastic.
Sketch comedians, improviser. She's brilliant.
She's
hilarious.
Also just
stand-up.
Like the nicest person.
Oh, she's
and
gorgeous.
Yes, she's yeah. everything. She's yeah. everything and more.
She deserves to be on everyone's television all the time, constantly.
Yes,
you all should be so lucky.
I have a picture of her just taped to my TV.
Yes.
So she can be on my TV all the time.
She turns your head.
Yeah, so she's on Love Island all the time. She's in every scene of it.
She turns your head.
Yes.
Well, I think we should tell the listeners what we did last night together.
Oh, yeah.
We should share that we went to WWE Raw Live.
Yeah, it was awesome.
In Dallas.
It was very fun. There was a big, unexpected explosion that happened within 10 minutes.
And right at the beginning.
A purposeful explosion.
That's right.
Where some wrestlers were thrown through.
Braun Strowman and Lashley got thrown through.
Yes.
I can't think of his first name. Something Lashley.
Something, I think it also starts with a B.
Something
I don't know.
Anyway, but they got thrown through an LED panel and exploded.
But the best part was the explosion lasted for probably 7 to 8 minutes.
It
just
forever.
Kept going like, ta-doom, boom, ting, ting. It wasn't all
pew,
at once.
Yeah,
it and it looked like just a bunch of sparklers going off at the same time. But it was super fun. It was a fun part.
And then
the whole storyline throughout was,
are they okay?
They're in the hospital. Are they okay? We never found out because that's why they want you to turn into SmackDown tonight.
I found a wrestling gossip website.
Uh-oh. Are they okay?
Looked it up today. It turns out, I really don't want to ruin this, but it turns out wrestling is scripted. It's not real. And
okay.
These two guys.
That's, we'll agree to disagree.
Okay. Apparently, one of them has a bad knee and the other one is having spleen problems.
In real life?
Yes.
So that's why they
and
wrote
so
this.
So they
in. That
wrote
makes sense.
In this explosion that they're both really injured so that they can take a couple weeks off to
that's
heal.
Because
I think it sounds cooler to be like, they were in an explosion versus
yeah.
like, his knee is bad.
Yeah. That happens a lot. And they'll write in storylines if people get pregnant and stuff like that, too. My dad growing up was very into wrestling.
Oh, really?
And I have been to some WrestleManias
what?
And other wrestling events.
Oh, I'm jealous.
And he always, unfortunately, he is no longer with us, so I can't really ask him this, but he always told us it was real.
Yeah.
And I don't, to this day, I don't know if he actually thought it was real.
Or he was trying to keep the magic alive.
I don't know which one it was.
Well,
I think part of him thought it was real, though. I don't know. So for a while, I thought it was real. Now I'm very aware. Everyone knows.
It's scripted.
It's sports entertainment.
They're
yeah.
acting.
Yeah. I have a good friend that used to write for Raw. So I'm very aware that it's like scripted. But I tell my improv students all the time, wrestling is one of the best things you can watch to get better at character development.
True.
And just confidence and knowing how to command an audience. The dedication they put into those characters.
It's amazing.
And like fleshing them out and everything and how they're standing with just a mic in a ring in front of sometimes hundreds of thousands of people, and everyone is glued to the edge of their seats with
yeah.
what they're going to say. That takes a certain personality.
Everyone was
not just anybody
it.
Can be a wrestler.
No, I don't think so. You know who can, though?
The Miz. Hell yeah.
Big Miz fan over here.
Miz is great.
Longtime Miz fan.
Long time since his days on Real World and Road Rules.
Yes.
I couldn't remember his real name.
His name's like Chris Mizanin. Mizanin? M-I-Z.
Oh, so the Miz
Mizanin
was
or whatever?
Abbreviation
yeah.
of his last yep. name. Oh, that makes sense.
So, or no, it's Mike. It's Mike Mizanin.
Mike, that's it. Mike
Mizanin.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mike.
He's amazing.
Well, it was a lot of fun.
It was great. It was a great time.
Good time. Good company.
Those kids next to
fortunately
us.
Fortunately, didn't have any pretzels.
There were no pretzels in the suite.
I had talked up these soft pretzels to my brother and Tommy for hours.
I'm so sorry.
And then I kept saying, I think they're going to bring them out. And then they were like, are the pretzels coming? Like, I just,
oh, no.
But we're going to the Rangers game tomorrow night, so we'll get pretzels.
You can get
there.
Pretzels, pretzel dogs, all that kind of
ooh,
good stuff.
Ooh, maybe I will have a pretzel
I'm
dog.
Glad you guys could come. It was great
it was
to meet your brother.
It was super fun. Thanks so much for having us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
it was so
my
fun.
My brother is awesome.
And
one of two. They're both great.
They're both.
I don't have favorites.
Are you in the middle or are you oldest?
I'm the oldest.
Okay.
This is the middle one that's in town currently.
Excellent.
Yeah. So that is what we did. It was super fun. You know what's not super fun?
Getting roped into a sex cult.
Yeah, really, not just a sex cult. Getting roped into any multi-level marketing thing chaps my hide.
Well, I'm never one to get roped into multi-level marketing things like selling stuff because I know I don't have the motivation to like buy a bunch
of... Will you buy it if your friend is selling it?
Rarely.
Because I'd get real tossed if someone that I am friends with tries to sell me some shit like nail wraps or I don't know, pills or whatever it is.
Anything.
Like, I don't want to buy this crap. Yeah.
And it's very, I have a person that I went to high school with on Facebook who is clearly selling, I figured it out somehow. I don't know how, it's like Optimum Coaching. It's some kind of like weight loss coaching.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But I can tell she has these very clickbaity Facebook posts that's mm-hmm. like, it's Friday. Tell me what fun things you're going to do on Friday. I'm so excited. I'm going to wear a bikini because I lost weight.
Oh, good for you.
DM me for information.
You know what? You don't have to lose weight to wear a bikini.
No, just everybody's
that's
a beach
what
body.
I want to send me an invite to this and I'm just going to troll this page and just put like body positive comments
yes.
for people that can be whatever size they want and still wear bikinis.
It's very clickbaity though. DM me to see how I did it and to try to like suck you in. But I was going to say, I don't think I'm not going to buy her coaching or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm not going to buy pink juice or whatever people are selling. But I will say, I have fallen into the self-help book trap.
I feel like that's a bit different because those are authors that have usually
Matthew
acclaimed
Hussey.
Authors that write a book. You know, it's not like now if one of my friends wrote a self-help book. Well, depending on the friend.
That's true. Some
I
people,
may or may not buy it.
There's some people I can think
if
of.
If Sally wrote a self-help book, I would be first in line to get that.
I want to live that Daddy Diapers life. That's her Instagram handle. Is Daddy Diapers.
Everyone go follow her. She's amazing. I believe she listens too.
Oh,
so.
Hello.
We love you, Sally.
But yeah, there's some people that you just don't want to take advice from.
No.
Just by the looks of them.
And Keith Raniere is one of 100%, those
100%. You see this guy and he is a schlub.
He is. He's a hairy schlub.
There's a video of him writing on a whiteboard and it's just nonsense. It's like he looked at the movie Good Will Hunting and was trying
and
to mimic
just tried
that.
To recreate that scene.
Oh man,
that's funny.
He's a dipshit.
Well, I'm
spoiler,
Christy.
I'm Heather.
And yeah, spoiler, Keith Raniere's a dipshit.
He's the worst.
We're talking about NXIVM, so let's get into this. Keith Raniere was born in Brooklyn in 1960 to James Raniere, a New York City advertiser, and Vera, a ballroom instructor. Around 8 years old, his parents separated. Shortly thereafter, he began attending a Waldorf school, which is a school based on the educational philosophy of Rudolf Steiner, the founder of Anthroposophy, the esoteric spiritual movement based on the idea that an objectively spiritual realm exists and can be observed by humans. That is very hard to even understand, and I'm reading this sentence.
Yeah, so I guess it's the
basically that heaven exists and you can observe it.
It was within you all along.
something to that nature. Waldorf schools aim to develop students' intellectual, artistic, and practical skills in a holistic manner.
That sounds reasonable.
I like that. It's kind of Montessori. And teach them about such things as reincarnation, karma, and the existence of gnomes.
I'm sorry. What was that?
Well, teach them about reincarnation,
okay, it's,
karma.
That's reasonable.
In the existence of gnomes.
Where do they live? Where are
well,
they?
We
forest?
Need to sign up for a class at the Waldorf school.
Can I
just eat a Waldorf salad
yeah.
or sandwich and a gnome appears?
Or watch Statler and Waldorf, the Muppets, talk
there
shit
you go.
About Keith Raniere. That'd be very funny.
I think gnomes, from what I understand, live in gardens.
In my
and
garden.
Forest. Things of that nature.
I was very obsessed with gnomes in high school, and I had a gnome, and I took it on our class
the,
field
like
trip.
The Travelocity gnome?
I think it was before, or maybe concurrent with. But nevertheless, I was very obsessed with my gnome, and I took him to our New York field trip, and he's in all the photos, and
aww.
It's very stupid.
I also like gnomes, and my good friend Laurie loves to tell the story about how I got drunk once and started talking about how much I love the Travelocity gnome. And straight up said, I'd fuck that little thing.
I'd fuck that little thing.
He's so cute.
And he had a British accent, right? Didn't he?
Something.
I think
he's
so.
Got some sort of an accent.
A fancy accent.
He's also featured heavily on Amazing Race.
Oh, there you go.
It's sponsored by Travelocity. They have to take the gnome, the roaming gnome everywhere. Yeah.
Well, it sounds like Raniere was getting quite an education.
Yes. Yeah. So it sounds like he's getting kind of a... hippie, new age type of education, which I'm all for. Yeah. I love a Montessori school. I've tried to set up our house to be similar to one. So there's nothing wrong with that.
You make sure there's plenty of gnomes. For
yeah, where gnomes are everywhere. Gnomes, I'm going to find a school where a gnome is her teacher. Well, from as early as 9 years old, Ranieri exhibited manipulative and controlling behavior that would seem to foreshadow his later path in life. In a 2018 interview with the Epoch Times, a former classmate of Ranieri's from the Waldorf School recalled an incident in which she accidentally shared some compromising information about one of her sisters in Ranieri's presence.
We all have an oopsie sometimes.
Oh, I've got a lot, yeah.
You say a secret in front of a friend and go, you can't tell her.
Don't tell anybody, yeah. Upon hearing her story, Ranieri told her,
"You know, it's like I have this little bottle of poison I can hold over your head. I just don't think your parents or your sister would be very happy if I told them."
She went on to say that Ranieri would sometimes call her on the phone and taunt her by saying,
little bottles.
What a little fuck.
He's 12 or younger.
Nine. He's nine.
He's nine at this
he's
age.
He's 9 years old right now, which is kind of an asshole age to be.
Kids are shitty.
Yeah, they can a lot of ages. But this isn't your typical 9 year old shittiness. This is pretty
manipulative.
Pretty highbrow shittiness that, that you're surprised that a 9 year old would know how to be this vindictive at this point.
What sister should have done, this girl should have done, is go to her sister and go, "Listen, I said something in front of Keith Ranieri. Mm-hmm. My bad." And then when he called and said little baller, she'd go, "You go fuck yourself, yeah. Keith Ranieri."
Yeah.
How about that?
You just got to come out with it.
Sometimes.
Honesty is the best policy.
Usually, yes.
At age 12, Ranieri left the Waldorf school and began attending Rockland Country Day School in Suffern, New York. It was during this time that he also read the sci-fi novel Second Foundation, which he would later credit for being the inspiration for his work in Nexium.
Correlation does not always equal causation, but I will say L. Ron Hubbard.
Scientology, yep.
And now this guy. They're trying to make stuff real. They're trying to make this futuristic sci-fi thing real.
I think sci-fi for a lot of people, too, is a fun fantasy world where you like to imagine and place yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And
escape.
Sometimes you take it a little too far. Yeah, it's a form of healthy escapism a lot of times.
I think so.
But then when you get
one bad apple.
One bad or two bad apples up in there, then you get two very different cults.
but still cults.
Yeah, but still cults. In 2019, Barbara Bushi, Ranieri's ex-girlfriend and former high-ranking member of Nexium, gave an interview to CBC Radio in which she recounted stories of Ranieri's childhood she claimed to have been told by his father, James. According to Barbara, James told her,
"What we did is we told Keith about how gifted and how intelligent he was. It was almost like a switch went off, and suddenly, overnight, he turned into like Jesus Christ. He was superior and better than everybody, like he was a deity. It was dramatic, profound, went right to his head."
Well, shit, man. That's on you, Dad.
Yeah. Why did you tell him this?
I will say there are studies now coming out that certain kids that have been told that they're gifted, it actually will have them behave in a, like,
not try as hard.
Well, not try as hard, or to the other kids go, "Oh, you're a regular
as
kid."
As an elitist,
I'm
yeah.
Like, yes. Or not try as hard and go, "Oh, well, I'm smart, so I don't really have to work as hard."
My mom, when I took an IQ test when I was younger, wouldn't tell me the results.
Oh, that's so smart.
Maybe it's because I was so dumb.
Oh, no.
No, I think she was like, "You don't need to know that.
It doesn't matter."
Yeah.
Just do your
be
best.
Be who you are and we'll see what happens.
Yeah,
do your
best.
Yeah.
There's a meme going around on Twitter that talks about gifted kids and how, or it makes you feel like, well, I should be good at everything. I should know. And it's undue pressure that you put on yourself. And that a friend of mine who is a listener, does gifted and talented education, like kind of consulting, I guess, or like she teaches the teachers on and does research and statistics and all that. And we were talking about it should be more like each kid needs to have a track that they can, or like a treadmill that's at the right speed for them to keep up versus, well, little Billy, or little Keith, you know, he's 13 and he's gifted now. And so he's, instead of checking back in with them.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of parents that are like, "My kid's gifted. You know, Stacy needs to be in your class. She's gifted." And not always. And maybe you're putting undue pressure on Stacy or whatever, instead of just, there's a lot of little issues with these labels.
And a lot of times, the kid doesn't care if they're gifted.
No,
it's all about the parents. So then you're putting your own insecurities reflecting those onto your kid because you want to be seen as a good parent who has a really smart kid.
Yes.
You know what? You can be a great parent and have a kid that
is average.
Is just in regular class. Well, also, there's like, nothing wrong with that.
People are good at different things, yeah. Right? And so you may have a kid that's like fine in English and fine in math, but can take a car engine apart or whatever. Sure. Or like okay in English, okay in math, and can paint a beautiful picture.
Didn't Einstein flunk out of school?
I think so.
There's been a ton of like brilliant minds yes. that did not do well in school. And a lot of time it's because they don't do well in confined environments yes. where I do terrible at standardized testing.
Yeah.
Terrible at it.
Me too. I mean, I fell asleep during the math part of the SATs. I mean, it was bad.
I didn't fall asleep during it, but I may as well have judging by my score that I got.
Yeah, as you say, I just didn't know any of the things and my ADD kicked in and I just stared at the page and then I got kind of tired and I thought, oh, fuck it. I'm not going to know any of these answers anyway.
You just fell asleep.
Yeah, I think you get 200 points for bubbling your name in, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then the English I did great because I'm interested in yeah. it and I liked it, but I think you can't judge a fish by its ability to fly, right?
No,
so I think
exactly.
that's, you get a problem when you tell this kid, you're extraordinary. Mm-hmm. You're smarter than everyone else. Then he starts a damn cult. So watch out what you tell your kids.
Good job, James. Barbara also recalled a story she heard about a 13-year-old Ranieri's relationship with girls.
Dozens of girls were calling the house, and Keith's mom was over here in conversations with him where he was telling every single woman, every single girl, the same thing. I love you. You're the special one. You're the important one. You're the one in my life, and I love you. Now, he's saying this to different girls. He's clearly lying because they're all not special. All right, Dad.
Again, at 13... this smarmy little fuck.
Yeah. I don't know that he's a genius so much as he's manipulative.
Yeah. He's just very manipulative.
And weaselly.
Which is, so many cult leaders aren't geniuses. No. They just manipulate and brainwash people into thinking that they are.
Smoke and mirrors.
Yeah. And it, golly, just trying to think back. 13, what, you're in 7th grade?
Yeah. I was a huge nerd. I was writing Backstreet Boys fan fiction like a lot.
I was. A lot. Man, I don't even remember what I was doing.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
Hey, Bowen, point of order. It feels like nothing is what it says it is anymore.
Point of answer? It's because everything has a catch.
Hey, or turns out to be something else entirely.
Like a total catfish situation.
Exactly, Bo.
Except for Hotels.com.
Yeah, that one's pretty literal.
Because it's Hotels.com. It's in the domain. You go there, you book hotels, hundreds of thousands of them.
And hold up, that's it?
That's it. Hmm. And when stays are booked as a member, rewards are earned every time.
Every stay?
Every stay. No tracking or managing, just rewards that can be used like cash on future bookings.
Which, by the way, already feels nicer than most rewards programs. Okay.
Yeah. Members can also get up to 20% off bookings, so savings start right away.
Does that mean no weird restrictions?
And no blackout dates. Book what works when it works. It's actually really fitting of real travel.
So the name is honest, you're saying? And the rewards are too.
Exactly. Hotels.com. It's all in the name.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
I know I was boy crazy. I was 13. Really into Crisscross.
Oh, yeah. Jump, jump.
Yeah, remember that.
13 is 7th grade.
Isn't it?
I think so. I remember I knew a girl in 7th grade. You guys, real dramatic. She gave a boy a hand job in the band room.
Yikes.
And I remember at the time, I was such a virgin nerd. No idea about sex, anything.
As a 7th graders should be.
As a 13-year-old girl should be. And I said, what did you do? And she explained how the mechanics of an old-fashioned, we can call it,
yeah,
as classy people call it. And I was like, you're just tugging on it? I was like, what did you do? Like, what did you talk about? And she said, nothing. You don't talk. I said, you just be like, I think it's going to rain on Tuesday. And she was like, no, you don't say anything. And I'm like, so it's just weird. You're just sitting there yanking on their thing.
Well, I was just mortified. How much she had to learn because... later in life, you do talk about the weather. You're just like, can we just get this over with?
I just was so mortified. But yeah, at 13, I'm not going to... He was sitting here basically starting a harem of women that loved him.
Yeah.
I was not even close to that spot in my life.
No. I think seventh grade was when I got my first kiss. At a church lock-in.
Oh, shit.
So.
Churches were like sex central.
You lock a bunch of horny teenagers in a in a location. It doesn't matter if it's under the, in the house of God or a Dairy Queen. Things are going to happen when you all get together. That's just. But and then everyone
they're
was
asking
like,
for it.
Yeah. Lock-ins, man. I was such a wild kid. Ella's not going to be allowed to leave the house. I'll be like, you want to go to a lock-in? Yeah, I know what happens to a lock-in. You know, finger banging.
A lot of fingering.
I'm not going to a lock-in.
A friend went to a church and was like, you got to come to my church. It's going to be so fun. And then later on was saying, yeah, me and this boy snuck in a bathroom and he fingered me. And I thought, I'm not going to go to church. I don't want to get fingered.
Well, that never happened for me. But I did, I do remember getting kissed at a church lock-in. So I was really boy crazy in seventh grade. If a boy I was interested in called me up and started saying, I love you, you're the special one, I would have been taken. Yeah, I would have been smitten. Because you're stupid.
Yeah, I mean,
you're dumb
just,
at that age.
Yet.
You don't
naive.
Know. You're naive. Yeah. Dumb. I was dumb. I can say it about myself.
As Taylor Swift said, when you're 15 and somebody tells you they love you, you're going to believe
them.
That's
true. Yeah.
To quote the prophet Taylor Swift.
In 1978, Ranieri graduated from Rockland Country Day School and went on to attend college at Rensselaer, probably not saying that right, Polytechnic Institute.
Christy, was he valedictorian?
No, not quite. He graduated in 1982 with a 2.26 GPA. I'm sorry to laugh because I fucked off so hard my freshman year at Tech that I left there with a 1.9.
Wow.
True story. And... But when I graduated many years later, I had built it back up to a 4.0 and was on the dean's list and stuff. If this guy's such a goddamn genius, he's not even cracking a three-pointer.
No. And sometimes things happen to you. Maybe you're depressed. Maybe you're having trouble. But if you're such a genius.
I was partying. That was my excuse.
Hell yeah. But yeah, if you're such a genius, Keith Ranieri.
It should just come naturally, wouldn't it? I don't know.
Wow, you probably didn't even have to try. You could party and get all A's.
He's probably one of those that like... My brain is too big for the classroom.
They were asking such elementary questions.
Yeah, I couldn't even be bothered to go to class to do this. I'm smarter than the GPA.
Exactly. They can't, my genius can't be contained. Well, Ranieri is now fancy British sounding. I can't be contained.
Well, friends of Ranieri recalled that he always wanted to have some sort of money-making machine going on. Upon graduating college and taking an Amway marketing class, he became interested in multi-level marketing and in 1990 opened his first business, Consumers Byline, a company that sold discounted groceries to customers that signed up for memberships. On paper, that sounds interesting.
I mean, okay, here's the thing about Amway. It's been around forever. Mm-hmm. You know who makes the most money in Amway?
Amway.
The people that run it.
That's how all of these things are designed.
Seriously.
Does everyone know what a pyramid looks like?
That's right. It's the
There's
office.
A very pointy top. And that's where the people at the top sit.
The rich people.
And then everything else is underneath them, lower points on the ground.
It's like a Ponzi scheme or a pyramid.
Yes.
There's always got to be a sucker. There's a really cool nonfiction article called Dreams Incorporated by Matt Roth that talks about Amway.
Is that still around, Amway?
I believe it is.
Wow.
It's so heart-wrenching to read it, though, because at some point, you're in the middle of this pyramid, right? And he talks about these people who've removed everything from their home.
Yeah.
And their entire living room is just shelf after shelf after shelf of product. And it's, you know, I think Amway's like cleaning supplies.
I think it's a lot of stuff. I don't know. Did you ever see the movie Go with Katie Holmes?
No, huh?
Oh, my gosh. It's fun.
Is it about MLM?
No. It's about these... kids that work at a grocery store and they all like happen to meet up at this rave. It's really fun. It's like a fun 90s movie. But in it, and there's all these different storylines going on where they overlap, which are movies that I like.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, where it's like, and this guy is actually the sister or the brother of this guy.
Or if you're familiar with the improv format Close Quarters, where everything is happening in a 15-minute time span of each other.
Yes.
So you might see a character in one scene and then in another scene later, you see that character at the same diner the first time it took place, but in the background where like two other people
like
are
Pulp
now
Fiction.
Talking. Yeah, a Pulp Fiction type of thing. Anyways, Scott Wolf from Party of Five is in this, and Jay Moore, and they are a gay couple. Oh, yeah, they're very fun. But they go to this dinner party at William Fitcher's house, and they're convinced because of the way he's acting, because he's like sitting down on his silk sheets and he's like, y'all see how nice these sheets are?
Uh-oh.
You like that? What about the aftershave I'm wearing? Does that smell good to you?
Oh, they think he wants to have a three-way?
Let's go down and have some dinner, and then we'll come back up and talk about it. We're going to have some roast. Yeah. So then they sit down for dinner and they're like, he's going to ask us to be in a three-way. And then he busts out Amway stuff. And the whole time he's just been trying to sell him Amway, which is arguably worse than being asked to be in a three-way.
Yeah, I would much rather be asked to be in a three-way.
Especially if it's Scott Wolf and Jay Moore.
Yeah.
But I always think of that whenever I think of Amway, because
like
yeah, their whole house, everything is from Amway. But it's the sheets, the cologne. So I think they sell a little
like
bit
a Walmart
of everything.
Or Costco kind
or
of thing.
A grocery store, kind yeah. of like Consumers Byline. I
Keith
imagine
Neary's
yeah.
trying to jump on that Amway train.
Yeah, so that would make sense if he took an Amway marketing class, that he does something kind of similar but different afterwards.
Tries to take advantage.
Well, that same year, Ranieri began a sexual relationship with the 12-year-old daughter. I'm going to repeat that.
Aww.
He's 24, the 12-year-old daughter of one of his Consumer Byline employees. This was not the first time Ranieri had committed statutory rape.
So he's a schlub, he's a shithead.
And he's a...
Or dipshit, I'm sorry.
Molester and a predator.
And he's a
sexual
sex predator.
Yeah.
Great. He's a child molester and a mm-hmm. sex predator. Great. It just keeps... The hits keep coming yeah. with old Ranieri.
He's ticking all the boxes.
He's a real piece of work.
6 years earlier, Ranieri had also been involved with two different underage girls named Gina, both 15. One of the girls, Gina Hutchinson, had been told by Ranieri that she was a reincarnated Buddhist goddess. He then convinced her to drop out of high school and work for him at Consumers Byline.
You can't blame a kid like this because,
no,
you know,
God,
15,
no, they're children.
You're vulnerable. Yeah.
You have a 24-year-old. I remember being 15, I would have thought a 24-year-old guy talking to me would have sent me over the moon.
It's so
I would
funny.
Have felt so cool.
At 15, 13, 14, 15, I was so into the Backstreet Boys, and they were so like 25,
How old
26.
Were they at the time?
So right at 10, 12 years older than me. So they would have
been. Imagine one of them, of course, it's a Backstreet Boys celebrity. You would have died. But had it not been, and
yes.
just one of them come up to you, how over the moon would you have been?
That I mean.
A 24-year-old cool guy was talking
he
to
said,
you?
He said, I'm a goddess.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's, and how, what a piece it's, of shit he is for knowing that.
He's grooming.
He's 24. This girl's half, a little less than half his age. And he's preying on, he knows this is going to.
He's grooming her.
Yeah, it's just disgusting. Well, in 1993, just 3 years after launching Consumers Byline, Ranieri's business was investigated by 20 different states and was eventually shut down after the state attorney general of New York found it to be a pyramid scheme.
Yeah, he was committing all kinds of stuff.
So is it illegal to have a pyramid scheme?
If I'm remembering correctly, the way that you bought into Consumers Byline, you paid a fee and it was a little almost like a franchising agreement, kind of. But the way that it was set up, that you got a piece of his top line action, the attorney general in New York decided that was security.
Okay.
And so he's selling unregistered securities.
Oh.
So he was busted for basically securities fraud on a state level. I could get into a lot of securities law that's so boring. When everyone's like, oh, cool, are you a criminal lawyer? I'm like, no, I'm a securities lawyer. It's crazy boring, but I'm very into it. And
I talk about criminal stuff all the time to make up for it.
Exactly. I love talking about crimes, but security. So a security is, you know, a piece of a company, basically. Mm-hmm. This is the issue you have with crowdfunding and stuff. But anyhow, you have to be licensed. You have to buy a security through a broker. And then at the state level, there's a thing called blue sky laws. And that's what allows states to regulate the sale of securities in their jurisdiction.
Gotcha.
And so he basically, what he was selling was like a piece of Consumer Byline. I'm using air quotes. But if you're selling a piece of a company to someone that's not like an employee or someone who's not, at this time, the law was probably a little bit different because it all changed after Bernie Madoff, which would make a good episode, by the way, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, you know, you have to be a certain type of investor or a bank or whatever mm-hmm. to invest in this. So he was theoretically committing securities
Interesting.
Fraud.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
He got busted for this episode's going to be long and there is stuff we left out.
Oh, yeah.
About his patent stuff. And he claims he invented the Microsoft or
yeah,
something.
Yeah. He's all
Skype.
Over the place.
I think he claims he invented
he's
Skype.
All over the place.
He's berserk. So anyhow, he shuts down. They
well,
shut
he
him
gets
down.
Shut down for good reason. And then in 1998, he meets a woman named Nancy Salzman, a nurse and trained practitioner of hypnotism and neurolinguistic programming, which is an approach to communication, personal development, and psychotherapy that claims there is a connection between neurological processes and behavioral patterns learned through experiences.
Okay.
Those that adhere to the practice of NLP believe these connections can be changed in order to achieve specific goals in life. However, there is no scientific evidence supporting these claims, leading many to discredit it as a pseudoscience.
So she's a nurse.
She's also new age. She's a bit new age, which I love. Like this, honestly, I could get behind NLP. There's probably some stuff in there that I would really get into and everything.
But when you start to figure out, oh, I do this because, you know, it happened as a child or my parents did or whatever. Yeah.
Together, Ranieri and Salzman founded Nexium, a multi-level marketing program that claimed to offer personal and professional development through its executive success programs. Ranieri styled himself as a New Age philosopher whose teachings were heavily influenced by his favorite author, Ayn Rand, and stressed that the programs would
help people experience more joy in their lives. I just wanted to hit him in the mouth right with a balled up fist when it was the Keith Ranieri tapes on YouTube, and someone goes, What qualifies you to do this? And he goes, I think I'm an interesting person. I think I'm a unique person. I said, so you're a fucking idiot. You got nothing.
I think I'm those things too, but I'm not starting a cult anytime soon.
Come on, man.
Like, maybe I already have. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, theoretically. Like we said, improv's kind of a cult. Yeah. You find a similar, but here's the thing. We're not forcing anybody to be in it.
No.
You know?
And we're not forcing anyone to get
send nudie
initials
pics
branded into their skin,
burnt into them. Yeah, no, there's not really a lot of racketeering going on.
Nope.
But yeah, it's just that he styles himself as this philosopher, but he has just like no background.
No, he can't even lie about it. It's not like, well, I was a Harvard graduate. I graduated top of my class. I went on to get my PhD at Stanford. Nobody, you graduated with a 2.26 GPA.
Yes. And have done nothing beyond
and
that.
Have been sleeping with a bunch of underage girls.
Yes, you're a sex predator, pretty much.
Well, students of the Nexium program were told to call Ranieri Vanguard, a title he adopted from an arcade game he played as a child, in which destroying one's enemies increased one's power. Salzman was to be referred to as Prefect, as she was Ranieri's first student, as well as a person in command.
I'd like to be called Voldemort.
I just want to be called Doctor.
I like that.
Doctor.
Telling you, chatting with Dr. Christie, people ask you their problems. Dude, I'd be into that.
Were you around DCH when I did Drunk Christie at Pipeline?
I saw photos. I've never witnessed it or experienced, but I love it.
Well, I don't really drink anymore, but when I did, it wasn't a character. It was just me drunk.
With Miller Lite.
Was Drunk Christie. Was a thing known amongst our friends in the DCH community. Because I have a different persona, as we all do when we're drinking.
You're very swaggery.
When I'm drunk?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, maybe I should start drinking again.
You're like, let me tell you something.
It's well,
like,
that's probably why I had this bit at Pipeline, which is a show at DCH, where I had people send me emails or just while they were there, write questions to Dear Drunk Christie about whatever, and then I would answer them.
I love it.
I was real lit.
Yeah.
It was pretty fun. It was lots of sex questions.
I would join that cult before
Keith
Ranieri. Well,
thank you. I would. What do you want to be called? Voldemort?
Voldemort.
You got it.
Done.
Well, workshops lasted anywhere from 5 to 16 days and cost around $7,500. Those that paid this hefty fee truly believed Ranieri could heal them of emotional trauma, set them free from their fears and attachments, stop patterns of destructive thinking, and help them sexually. So this is where it starts to get, well, not starts to get, because he's been sleeping with children. That's very
upsetting.
He's
already a sex predator.
This is super sad.
Yes.
If you, most people don't just have $7,500 lying around to just spend on a workshop for 2 weeks.
Correct.
They are putting second mortgages on their homes. They're selling things. They're going without food, perhaps, to because they honestly believe
it's going
to
help.
Because they're in such a bad place, this is going to turn their lives around.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because my initial reaction when you hear somebody gave $7,500 to hear Keith Ranieri just bullshit, I think, good, fuck you. You deserve to lose your money. You're probably rich. But what you're saying is right. a lot of these people didn't even have that money.
No.
So that's even worse.
Yeah.
So now he's preying on already children and now preying on vulnerable people who are
like televangelists.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Yeah, I could get into some stuff about televangelists.
I bet we could do a great, we could do an episode on.
What's the one that lived out here?
Was it
a famous one from the 700 Club? Isn't that a thing?
I think that's one of them.
Yeah.
I just didn't know what that was when I was a kid. Mom's like, I don't know. Like, I love that. It wasn't like, well, it's a religion. And they, she's like, oh,
I was always just like, these people are so old. Every time you, flip past
If I may briefly tell a story, there was a televangelist. It's the Baker. What is her name? Tammy Faye Baker.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Tammy Faye Baker had the room that she televangelized from was like Pepto-Bismol pink.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Just so pink.
With the craziest eyelashes you've ever
craziest
seen.
Craziest eyelashes. And my mama, when she had a back room where she kind of sat, and that was like her home base, right?
Yeah,
and she like, wrote letters from there and talked on the phone. She's like, I want you to paint my room the same color as Tammy Faye Baker's room.
Oh, nice.
Man, that room was...
Was it pink?
Pink. Oh yeah, my uncle's
start
like
proselytizing from back there.
Although, if now that I'm an adult, I just I miss my mama for a lot of reasons. But God, I could have turned a camera on her, and she would give you the what for. Man, she would not hold back. God.
Well, you're following in her footsteps,
I guess.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
Hey, Bowen, is it just me or does it feel like nothing is actually what it says it is anymore?
Yeah, like when you order chicken fingers, you don't get fingers, you get mystery nuggets.
Exactly. Well, except Hotels.com.
I was going to say,
yeah.
Hotels.com, because they do hotels.
Refreshing.
And when booked as a member, rewards are earned every stay. Not points that disappear, rewards that work like cash and can actually be used.
So the name checks out and the perks do too.
Yep. Members can get up to 20% off tons of hotels with no blackout dates. Just works with real travel.
Okay. That tracks.
Hotels.com. It's all in the name.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know. I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited. By law, CTs and C's, 21 plus, sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Nexium's training was a trade secret. That is information that is not generally known to the public, confers economic benefit on its holder because the information is not publicly known, and where the holder makes efforts to maintain its secrecy. Members were also made to sign non-disclosure agreements.
Yeah, the thing about
those are some red flags.
You know, I think he filed for a patent for like a 7-step program or something. But I think the problem is filing for stuff, it becomes public record. There's trade secret laws that by their very nature, like you said, if he takes steps to maintain it or whatever, it's a trade secret. But I don't know that arguably bullshit is trade secret.
Mm.
I don't know. Maybe it
We'd
is.
All be trademarking our shit if it was.
That's right.
Instead of TM, it's a BM.
This is the kind.
Can we just acknowledge that?
Yeah, BM.
For a
second? Let's do BM. Bullshit mark. It's a
but
bull
also
mark.
Because it's shit and it's a BM.
Oh, God. It's so good. On so many
Jokes
levels.
Jokes are funnier when you have to explain them. If there's anything I've learned as my time as a comedian, it's that. I have straight up during an improv set if people haven't laughed, been like, I'm going to explain why that's funny.
You know what's great about what I just did? I got a lot of reasons. But I think Keith Raniere is like the people on Reddit that give legal advice that are like, I'm not a lawyer, but
yeah.
It's like okay.
Well, then stop right there.
Yeah. He knows just enough to be dangerous.
Mm.
Of like, oh, it's a trade secret. With ergo, you must sign.
He's read just enough Wikipedia pages for people to buy into his bullshit.
Huge asshole.
Well, at the time, all of that meant that no one on the outside knew what was going on behind closed doors. However, testimony at the recent trials have shown a light on the horrid manipulation and abuse that members endured. Over 16,000 people throughout the U.S., Canada, and Mexico took classes titled things like Rules and Rituals and Civilization and Human Pain. Classes would last approximately 17 hours each day, with attendees getting very little sleep, leading some participants to experience hallucinations. Oftentimes, these hallucinations were interpreted by students as spiritual breakthroughs. However, the more likely scenario was that they were just sleep deprived and exhausted.
And hungry. And you start to get loopy.
Yeah, oh, yeah. You start to lose it for sure.
So I think that's, I mean, no, I don't think. That is a cult tactic.
Absolutely. Used, yes.
Keeping
people
breaking them down.
You're breaking them down to build them back up. You want to be seen as the one that
get there at their
most exhausted, their lowest point.
And they'll
and
say
you're there to bring them back up and make everything better.
And, well, and it's like coerced confessions.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. Yes, exactly.
So you starve somebody and keep them awake and stuff. So I don't know. He's just.
Yeah, he's a doozy.
Yeah, manipulation.
He's got a Golden Juice Award. Yes. That's for sure. Attendees were also made to recite a 12-point mission statement each day that had been written by Ranieri, which included such declarations as,
"There are no ultimate victims. Therefore, I will not choose to be a victim."
Which is a very entitled thing to say.
It's a real shitty thing to say, I think. And these 12 points, I mean, the NDAs they had him sign were like, you can't say anything about Nexium at all whatsoever. And a court did rule like the 12 points, certain specific training manuals you couldn't reveal. But generally, they're allowed to sort of talk about it. And so people come out and go, yeah, they made me say
It'd
all
this like
stuff.
It'd be like if we made people in the training program at DCH be like, you cannot talk about anything you've learned in your night. You're like, so I can't talk about, I can't like tell my friends how awesome this is and like tell them what I'm learning and stuff.
No, they have to come and do it themselves.
It's insanity.
He's nuts.
Students were also expected to bow to those in high ranking positions.
I'm not doing that.
Perform a secret handshake when greeting other members and wear colored sashes to show their rank within the program.
Okay. I will say, I'm dating a person that was in a fraternity. Turns out fraternities have secret handshakes.
Oh, yeah.
I did not know that.
Sororities and fraternities, yeah.
I did not know that. And he said if he was running and some guy had like the hat on and he said a secret phrase.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the guy said a phrase back and then they did a secret handshake.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of fun.
That's so
fun. It's a bonding thing.
And I said, you have to tell me what the secret handshake is. He said, no, I'm not going to. I took a vow that I would not ever tell and I'm not going to tell. And I said, I respect that.
Yeah.
I'm going to Google it.
I've tried to get secret handshakes out of people from sororities.
I just forgot to Google it, though. I mean, I'm sure it's on the internet.
Someone's probably leaked it somewhere.
That's what he said. He goes, you can Google it. I'm just not going to be the one to tell
you. Well, that's nice. He doesn't want it on his conscience.
It's so nice. But yeah, that's so part of this.
It is very much a fraternal organization.
Yes. And it sort of makes you feel part of a whole.
Yes, definitely.
And included and accepted.
And everyone likes a secret.
Yes.
You've got something to share with each other. You feel like a sisterhood or a brotherhood there. Yeah.
Everyone does like a secret.
Yeah. Everybody likes a secret. Well, Ranieri's teachings were misogynistic, preaching that men were the protectors while women were weak, narcissistic, and self-absorbed.
Sounds like Ranieri's weak, narcissistic, and self-absorbed.
Mm-hmm. When female members would eat, Ranieri reportedly grunted like a pig. One former member, Sylvie, testified,
I really felt like I started to hate the fact that I was a woman.
Man.
What an ass.
Oh, yeah.
He grunted like a pig.
He liked women skinny.
I'm
And we'll get
heated.
Into just how skinny. In a minute.
From top to bottom shitty.
Yeah, he's a top to bottom shit. In hindsight, it might seem obvious that Ranieri was preying upon the vulnerabilities of these unsuspecting women and manipulating and brainwashing them. But for the victims of cults such as these, that kind of clarity often isn't possible, and the damaging and false narrative being fed to them becomes too much to bear.
It really does become all-consuming.
Yeah. Gina Hutchinson was one of Ranieri's earliest victims, being coerced into a sexual relationship with a 24-year-old Ranieri when she was a mere 15. After dropping out of high school and working for Ranieri, she then went on to join Nexium and Ranieri's harem. In the beginning, Gina felt honored to be chosen by Ranieri and wanted nothing more than to please him. Her sister reported that the family even thought the two would get married. But the honeymoon phase soon ended, and Ranieri's demands that Gina remain monogamous while he slept with tons of women, didn't sit well with her. She longed to go on dates with other men and perhaps even find a husband.
I mean, you're 15 and now the years are passing and you think, I've been roped into something that I'm not comfortable with anymore.
But she's starting to get some clarity.
Especially he had her drop out of high school.
Yeah.
To really keep
She
her
lost so much of her life.
So much.
When Gina began to see another man and attempted to leave the harem, Ranieri became upset and told her that her chances for nirvana in this lifetime were shattered and that she would have to be born again since she had ruined her current life by betraying her vanguard. Shortly after, on October 9th, 2002, Gina went to the park of a nearby Buddhist monastery and tragically took her own life. That's heartbreaking.
He manipulated this person into thinking there was no way out except for to die.
Yeah. She probably thought she would die, be born again, and then she would have a chance at Nirvana.
And another chance. And it's a child. I mean, she's 15. He's groomed her and he's kept her. There's just no.
He's been brainwashing her for
years.
Years and years, yes. Kristen Snyder was a 35-year-old environmental consultant in search of a change. In November 2002, she enrolled in a 16-day course held in Anchorage, Alaska, led by Nancy Salzman. Upon completing the course, Kristen was hooked, and in January of 2003, traveled to New York to meet with Ranieri, with whom she immediately became enamored. When her trip ended and she returned back home to Alaska, family members became concerned. Kristen was sleep-deprived, and according to her family, had come to believe she was responsible for the Columbia shuttle disaster.
Who told her that? Keith Ranieri? Nancy Salzman?
I'm assuming because she was an environmental consultant, something within her line of work.
Oh.
And what she started, these false realizations she started to have in this course, somehow led her to believe that the work she had done was responsible for the Columbia disaster.
Somehow.
Confident Nexium was already changing her life for the better, Kristen decided to sign up for a second 16-day session and shelled out another $7,000. This time, she was also accompanied by her partner, Heidi. On the 10th day of classes, according to Heidi, Kristen began to talk about suicide. When Heidi expressed her concern to the Nexium instructor, she was told not to take her to a hospital.
Okay. This is when you start getting negligent.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Or responsible, liable.
Yeah. On February 6, 2003, Kristen was last seen leaving the Nexium seminar. 2 days later, police recovered a note that read,
"I attended a course called Executive Success Programs based out of Anchorage, Alaska and Albany, New York. I was brainwashed and my emotional center of the brain was killed/turned off. I still have feeling in my external skin, but my internal organs are rotting. I am sorry, life. I didn't know I was already dead. May we persist into the future."
On a separate page, Kristen had written,
"No need to search for my body."
That is tragic.
It's so heartbreaking.
I know. It's so sad.
It's a person that's been broken, a susceptible person that's been broken down to the point that they think that's the only way out.
There's no other answer. Yeah.
And told not to take to a hospital.
Yes. And her partner says, she has so much guilt,
I'm sure,
over that, because she knew she was having these thoughts and didn't seek out medical help because she was told not to.
They were told not to.
Yeah.
You put your life in these people's hands.
Gosh. By 2003, roughly 3,700 people had taken part in one of the Nexium Executive Success Programs, including celebrities and actresses, high-level business executives, and politicians. Among these wealthy and elite were Sarah and Claire Bromptman, heiresses to the Seagram's liquor fortune.
Man, I'd like to be the heiress to a blank fortune.
Heiress to anything.
Yeah.
Any kind of fortune, I'd love to be the heiress to.
That'd be great.
Fantastic. The Bromphaman sisters became staunch supporters of Ranieri and Nexium, reportedly spending over $100 million to help Ranieri out of financial trouble.
My eyes just popped out of my head like a wolf seeing a nurse in a Looney Tunes cartoon.
That's boing. To have that money to spend on someone else and still have way more than enough money to support your own lifestyle is staggering.
There's like a sign on the tollway in Dallas that says $1 is $3 at the North Texas Food Bank.
Yeah.
$100 million.
You could feed a small country.
To this schlub.
Yeah.
Think of all the good they could have done. And it would have been tax deductible.
Yeah. Was it tax deductible with him?
I don't know. It was a profit. Like, it was for profit, the success program.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. They weren't a charity or a religion. That's the thing at the end of this day was marketing. This was executive success training program.
Well, their loyalty and financial contributions quickly propelled them to high-ranking officials within the organization and members of Ranieri's inner circle.
It seems like to be at the top of Ranieri's inner circle is just a willingness to have sex with them and a checkbook.
Yeah. Yeah. And we haven't really got – we talked about Gina and the harem. We'll get more into just what exactly all that entailed.
It's pretty bad.
Pretty egregious. At the insistence of his daughters, Edgar Bronfman Sr. also took a $10,000 VIP course taught by Nancy Salzman. However, in a 2003 Forbes interview about Ranieri, Edgar stated that he thought Nexium was a cult, making him public enemy number one with Ranieri and his followers. Sadly, Bronfman died in 2013, still estranged from his daughters over their differing beliefs.
I mean, at least he's like, fuck it, this is a cult.
He called him out. And that's what cults do. They tear families apart.
Truly.
And this man passed away. And now his daughters are out of it and realize how awful it was.
And they lost that time with their dad.
How sad that they can't go back and get that time back.
And Edgar Bronfman and I think Chuck Schumer were two of the people that Ranieri considered enemies.
Oh, yes.
Bad guys. We got to dig up what we can on them.
Well, in 2006, Allison Mack was in Vancouver, Canada, filming the 10th season of Smallville, when she was recruited by Nancy Salzman and Nancy's daughter Lauren to join Nexium.
What better mother-daughter bonding thing
to you have being a cult together?
Being a sex cult together.
Never watch Smallville.
I didn't watch Smallville
either. Isn't it...
It's Superman.
Yeah, Superman.
It's young Superman.
Okay.
It always threw me off because the girl's name was Lana Lane and not Lois Lane. And I think Allison Mack was... I guess there was a Jimmy-like character. I don't know. She was like the sidekick, photographer sidekick, I think.
To Superman?
Yeah.
I don't know much about the Superman story. Well, that's not true. Wasn't his... He's from some planet where...
Krypton.
Krypton is the planet.
And his dad is Kal-El. Kal-El. And they're regular on their planet, but on the Earth sun gives Superman his powers. But Kryptonite is a part of his home planet. And because he's regular on his home planet, if he gets too near the Kryptonite, it makes him just be regular again.
Okay. And he can fly. That's his power.
He can fly because of our human sun.
Is that his superpower?
Yeah. He's really strong, too.
Yeah, that's right.
And he has Superman. X-ray vision.
That's a fun
power. Raising my eyebrows.
I do remember watching Superman in the 80s.
Christopher Reeve?
Yeah. And that kid falls over Niagara Falls.
Oh, and he saves him.
And Superman like dives down. He dives down in the air. He's flying. He flies down. And saves him, yeah.
I remember old school Superman. I feel like the new Superman is not as good.
I have never seen it.
It's not great.
It's not great?
He just looks like a CGI person. His face does.
Oh.
Christopher Reeve was such a good, funny, charismatic.
Yeah, he's great.
He's so charming. And the new guy is sort of like a mop with a wig on.
Ooh,
he's just hot boring. Take.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
Hey, Bowen, point of order. It feels like nothing is what it says it is anymore.
Point of answer? It's because everything has a catch.
Hey, or turns out to be something else entirely.
Like a total catfish situation.
Exactly, Bo.
Except for Hotels.com.
Yeah, that one's pretty literal.
Because it's Hotels.com. It's in the domain. You go there, you book hotels, hundreds of thousands of them.
And hold up, that's... It?
That's it. Hmm. And when stays are booked as a member, rewards are earned every time.
Every stay?
Every stay. No tracking or managing, just rewards that can be used like cash on future bookings.
Which, by the way, already feels nicer than most rewards programs. Okay.
Yeah. Members can also get up to 20% off bookings, so savings start right away.
Does that mean no weird restrictions?
And no blackout dates. Book what works when it works. It's actually really fitting of real travel.
So the name is Honest, you're saying? And the rewards are too.
Exactly. Hotels.com. It's all in the name.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Well, Max co-star Kristen Crook had recently taken a course to help her overcome her shyness and raved about how the classes changed her life. Intrigued and eager for her own change, Mac agreed to see what it was all about and attended a two-day conference in Vancouver. The conference Mac attended was for a subgroup within Nexium called Jeunesse, which claimed to be for women that wanted to take self-improvement courses on female empowerment.
Well, that all sounds great.
What better person to teach that than a man?
Than a male sex predator. Yeah, that's exactly who you want to be in charge.
During the 2 days, Mac was treated like royalty due to her celeb status and was even flown out to Albany to meet with Ranieri. Mac took to Ranieri and his teachings immediately, and when filming for Smallville wrapped, she moved to Albany, where she became Ranieri's faithful right hand.
That is a lot of belief you
have. That's a commitment.
Uproot your life.
Yeah. It had gone for about 10 seasons, I think. They'd wrapped on the show. She wanted a change. She says... In YouTube videos, you can see where she's recruiting for Jeunesse and talking about her own story. She talks about how she'd just been broken up with in a relationship and she didn't know if she would ever find love again. And the classic story that we all go through where we're feeling vulnerable and down. And then I guess they came along at the right time.
That's what I was thinking. I was watching her. It was like a CNN quick, you know, special about Ranieri's conviction. Mm-hmm. Spoiler alert. He's going to jail, yeah. You guys. Mm-hmm. But it was footage of her on Smallville, you know, younger days.
Yeah.
Very bright eyed, happy, mm-hmm. talking. And then a clip of her walking in to be arraigned.
Yeah. It is.
And she's just, her face, she looks so sad.
Yeah.
And I just looked at it. It's this idea that our lives can splinter off into 1,000 different directions.
Yeah.
And each choice we make sort of splinters us off into one of the other, into one trajectory. Mm-hmm. But some choices are just so huge.
Yeah.
It
changes everything
from whence you can never return. Her life is wasted. You know, she had this reasonable reputation as a, you know, a good television actress or whatever, a nice person. And now forever, she's going to be known as this monster.
And hopefully she can do something with that.
I don't know. Yeah.
Maybe speak on behalf of being sucked into something like this.
Yeah.
And help others not make the same mistake.
Something.
Matt quickly became an enthusiastic spokesperson and recruiter for the group, even saying in a recruitment video,
"Working for Jeunesse is the most purposeful and satisfying thing I've ever done. Watching the women who are in Jeunesse completely transform and evolve in a way that's so pure, it's just such a privilege."
She is just, you watch
she these. She is bright-eyed and bushy-tailed for Jeunesse.
You watch these videos of her on YouTube and she's 100% in.
She's 100% in. She also looks 100% brainwashed.
She looks just, when she looks at Ranieri, she appears to be walking like, in a daydream. Or
it's
walking.
Like a googly-eyed girl in the 60s looking at the Beatles.
Yeah.
It's just like this person bigger than God that you can't even believe they're giving you the time of day.
And everything that he says, she just eats with a spoon.
Yeah.
You can just tell. And the thing about Keith Ranieri is if you, like, you have Tommy and he loves you and he thinks you're the greatest person in the world, beautiful, phenomenal, but he doesn't look at you like, everything you do is perfect and I'll do anything.
No, he calls me on my bullshit.
Yes. And I think that's the importance of a true, genuine relationship versus this kind of cult leader, worship me.
Where everything's rainbows and unicorns all the time.
No matter what he does, it's right. I mean, that is, to me, it sounds like she started to get into an abusive relationship.
Yeah, very much. You lose your identity and everything that you love is theirs.
It revolves around him and she gets sucked in. And his part of this whole cult, this whole organization, is that it's ultimate authority to him.
Yeah.
That he's the ultimate.
He is the sun and moon.
And that's it.
Yeah.
And he makes all the calls.
Absolutely.
So.
And all the money.
Yes.
Well, the dark reality was that Jeunesse was merely a group for Ranieri to cull women he wanted for his even more secretive subgroup, DOS.
This is where it gets. This is where the racketeering begins and the sexual exploitation.
This is where things start to really go off the rails.
Yes.
In 2015, Ranieri created DOS, short for the Latin phrase Dominus Obsequius Sororium, which loosely translates to Master Over the Slave Women.
I'll never forget in that warrant that the FBI agent said, these are basically not even Latin words and they're not conjugated properly. It was a footnote and it's unnecessary, but so bitchy.
Yeah. Yeah, like, okay, that's what we're really here to talk about.
He's like, first of all, he doesn't even know Latin. What a loser.
DOS was made up of Ranieri's inner circle, with 8 first-line masters who were then instructed to recruit more women from Jeunesse. While the secret sisterhood proclaimed to be yet another one of NXIVM's women empowerment group, it was anything but.
This is the Michael Scott, I'm here, and then I recruit 3 people, and then they each recruit 3 people, and Jim just comes and draws a triangle. I mean, this is
classic.
I'm at the top. You 8 are underneath me, and each of you 8 get, I mean, it's just going to go on and on.
So who's at the top?
Keith Ranieri.
And who's at the bottom?
Women who are suffering.
Yeah, okay.
Pretty much.
Well, in truth, Ranieri was the grandmaster, which he demanded to be called, and with the help of his inner circle, created a sorority-like house for the women, with plans to build a dungeon in the future where his slaves would be kept in cages. And yes, he called them slaves, and they called themselves slaves.
And they called themselves masters. There's a lot of slave terminology that's about to get thrown around.
Yeah, that's true. Just heads up.
It's pretty horrifying.
Yeah. Women inducted into DOS believed they were joining a membership program to eradicate weaknesses in females. It was compared to a secret underground society similar to the Freemasons. The program preached that women are weak, emotional, and have no character or discipline. They were expected to learn discipline through humiliation, which meant humiliating each other.
Well, and I think that's how he tricks them into staying, is he says women quit things all the time because they're weak.
Do you want to be a typical woman? Do you want to quit? Just going to be a standard woman?
I bet you do want to quit because you're a woman.
Yeah, I bet you want to quit because you're just so basic. You're just like every other woman. There's nothing special about
you. I thought you were different.
It's gaslighting 101.
Horrifying.
And he, this whole time, has the biggest boner because these women are tearing each other down and that's getting him off.
And in his presence and on his behalf.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the first step in the DOS initiation process was for the women to take a vow of obedience to their master, which was another higher ranking woman. One became a master by recruiting other women to join and were given power within the group and compensated financially.
So there's some upsides to being a master.
Sure. You get a pension, I suppose.
You have to fuck Keith Raniere, who looks like he's been tarred and feathered, but with body hair.
Yes, he does.
He takes off his J.Crew sweater and just has a hair sweater.
They're like,
sweater.
Sir, you can't get into the pool with your clothes on. What? This is my body.
Why are you wearing
them? Sir, take off that sweater before you get into the public swimming pool. This is my hair. This is my body.
This is not a mohair sweater. This is my chest.
Oh, so gross.
I'm okay with a little bit of chest hair, but he is.
You know what? I like it. I like a little bit of chest hair.
I like a little.
This ain't a little bit of chest hair.
This is an excess.
This is in excess.
This is a Phil Donahue episode.
Just about his hair.
About what's wrong with this man.
Well, the slaves were expected to be on call to their masters 24/7 and were even made to perform regular readiness drills. They were required to perform acts of care and pay tribute to their masters by doing tasks such as bringing them coffee, cleaning their houses. The understanding among DOS members was that acts of care provided by a master slave should ultimately amount to the master having the work of at least one full-time employee.
So this is forced labor.
Yes, very much.
This is illegal.
You're not getting paid.
You're not allowed to do that.
And you're doing probably the work of someone that should be getting paid $45,000-$50,000 a year.
Yeah. This is not an internship.
No.
Where you get class credit.
No, they're
even
getting
those are
zero
getting,
credits.
Sometimes you actually have to pay your interns, depending on what they're doing.
Mm, interesting.
So this is where we start to get into the federal
line. Yeah.
Federal crimes.
One of the masters, Allison Mack, allegedly kept her slaves so sleep deprived and emaciated that they eventually stopped menstruating. She was also responsible for luring women to Raniere's bed and would groom them for sex with the Grandmaster, by requiring them to adhere to extremely restrictive diets of 500 to 800 calories per day, not remove their pubic hair, because that was Raniere's sexual preference, remain celibate, and forbid them from masturbating.
So this is my question. Allison Mack is doing these things, presumably of her own free will. She's gaining a lot from it. She's gaining the work of several slaves, for lack of a better term, money, financial compensation. Mm-hmm. But this is the this is, I guess, why cults separate people. Because if I try to pull any shit like this, my sister would just go, "What the hell is wrong with you, idiot?"
Yeah, they.
What are you doing?
Sarah and Claire Bronfman were sisters.
I guess that's true.
I don't know, but yeah, I see your point.
You
need someone like that. Everyone needs a Shannon to slap some sense into
you. What are you doing?
But they find people that. They've just lost someone in their life.
True.
They've just been broken up with. They don't have someone. They're all looking for a change.
Or willing to move across the country away from their families, or sometimes to another country away from
your
their
families. Your whole thing, she was on Smallville for 10 seasons.
She had no sense of
she
self.
She didn't have anything else lined up next. Like, to her, it's like, well, what do I do now?
Yeah.
And she's looking for something brand new.
But my question is, so yeah, that's fine. You join and it's Jeunesse and it's female empowerment. And yeah, maybe some of the messages are a little off. But at some point, you're telling a woman not to shave her pubic hair.
Mm-hmm.
What? You're an adult with, you're fully competent.
Yeah.
At what point do you have to take responsibility for your actions?
That's
and this
a good
is a question I have. I'm not blaming Allison Mack. This is my question to you as Christy and also the listener.
That's a good question.
This is a person who's now been charged and pled guilty or whatever. Mm-hmm. Spoiler alert. But you cross the line from And that's fine if you want to go, whoa, hey, this DOS thing, I sounded good at first, but we're putting people in cages and we're telling them not to masturbate. This is taking a... And I'm holding people down while Keith Raniere is performing sex acts.
I think she, at this point, has been so brainwashed herself that it all makes sense. Whatever he's telling her, however he is positioning it, you know, like, it makes sense to her. Oh, yeah. It does make sense that we should all have to have sex with you, because to really achieve enlightenment, you know more than all of us, so we could become one with you and gain your knowledge. Whatever bullshit he's
whatever
doing.
He's lying to him.
She is also a victim. I totally agree, though. Even just because she's a victim does not mean she's not responsible
for
her actions and making other people victims.
And I think I'm maybe crossing over here of, like, morally she's maybe less culpable because she was vulnerable and she was taking it, but, like, legally she's competent. She's not insane. She's not, doesn't have a mental disease or defect. She fully and willingly participated.
There are text messages and emails between them she is very much saying, I'm on board, coming up with ideas of things to do,
luring women late at night.
There's a lot of evidence that she was into it.
So that's where I think I struggle morally with this Allison Mack, particularly because that's my question, is you're legally culpable. Yeah. And you just get this icky feeling in your stomach that my curiosity is, like, when did it shift? When did she truly start?
That's an interesting question. Probably only one she can answer.
Yeah.
And she might not even know, because I think these things.
It creeps up on you.
And it's just so
insidious.
You don't even know it's happening.
Yeah,
it's like
gradual.
When you have too many shots of, you know, Jaeger, and you're like, I'm fine. And then you stand up off the bar stool and you pass out right there because it just all hits you at once. I think it just, like, creeps up on you and you don't even realize it's just the water slowly being turned up. And before you know it,
you're drowning.
You're boiling.
Well, I wonder, too, like, if it's a confirmation bias where you say, well, I've bought in this far.
Yeah.
I would look like a real idiot if I backed
out.
Yeah. And it's ego.
You almost don't want to let your stuff down. And the whole time he's also saying,
if you quit,
you're not into it anymore. So you're just a typical woman.
You're a loser.
That thinks you can't think outside the box. You're not smart enough to see why this is beneficial.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she is a victim and I feel for her, but it's real sticky because you also are like, how could you do this to other women?
You're holding people down and torturing them. We'll get to it. Sorry. I just, this whole topic just really itches my brain.
Yeah. It is an itcher. It's a brain itcher for sure. Well, if a woman refused to have sex with Raniere, the collateral she had been forced to provide upon joining would be used against her. Collateral consisted of embarrassing things, such as nude pictures of themselves, solo sex tapes, and even letters falsely claiming they had been sexually abused by their fathers.
So it was a lot of, embarrassing stuff you wouldn't want to get out there.
Absolutely.
Have you ever taken nude pictures?
No.
The only nude pictures of me that exist were when I was like 19 or 20 and my body was rocking. So the person who perhaps has those, if you want to leak them, you know what? Put them on a billboard. My tits have never been that high again.
Man, I wish I'd taken some pictures when I was 19, because I'd like to reflect on those and be like, oh, man. Actually, they probably sent me into a deep depression, so it's better I don't have them.
I think of it as like an old football player who's like old now, and it's like, man, I could throw a spiral.
Yeah, But you're also like, God, can I get back there?
No,
and then you just torment
That's
yourself.
That's great.
There you go.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
Hey, Bowen, is it just me or does it feel like nothing is actually what it says it is anymore?
Yeah, like when you order chicken fingers, you don't get fingers, you get mystery nuggets.
Exactly. Well, except Hotels.com.
I was going to say,
Hotels.com,
because they do hotels.
Refreshing.
And when booked as a member, rewards are earned every stay. Not points that disappear, rewards that work like cash and can actually be used.
So the name checks out and the perks do too.
Yep. Members can get up to 20% off tons of hotels with no blackout dates. Just works with real travel.
Okay, that tracks.
Hotels.com, it's all in the name.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at chumbacasino.com. Let's Chumba.
sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, according to Lauren Hirsch, former prosecutor and national director of the advocacy group World Without Exploitation, collateral is a classic tactic used by sex traffickers to prevent their victims from speaking out. Hirsch also says that the grooming process within cults like this normalizes the experience by enabling victims to be turned into recruiters.
So I think that answers a little bit of the culpability question. Yeah. And the collateral here, you know, Ranieri will claim later and Allison McElroy, they all did it. They wanted to do it.
Well, that's like any kind of abusive relationship.
They said yes.
Yeah.
Or Louis C.K. They said, I asked them and they said yes. It's like, well, really? You're sort of blocking
really?
The door.
Or were they coerced into it and fearing for their lives so they felt like they had no other option?
Exactly.
Yes.
And, you know, if you say, well, that's fine. You know, you don't have to have sex with Vanguard, but it sure would be a shame if this letter got out.
Yeah, exactly. Sure would be a shame if I put this letter out saying your father molested you and then your father who didn't and all of these are false claims. Yeah. And then that's his life that's being destroyed.
Well, and two, this is like mob tactics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's mafia techniques.
Well, in addition to having to provide collateral, members were also given assignments by Mac and other masters. Former member Nicole later testified that Mac ordered her to stop having sex with a former boyfriend, become celibate for 3 months, and be available to meet with Ranieri whenever he demanded, oftentimes at 3 or 4 a.m. Just a lot of power, control, manipulation.
A big deal about it, with the whole being available 24/7, is they would purposefully wake them up at 3 and 4 a.m. whenever you're in your deepest sleep, because you get woken up and you're sluggish and confused and then kind of get into...
Yeah, it's a power move.
It's a power move.
Mac was also one of Ranieri's personal slaves, and to prove her loyalty to him, signed a contract saying that if she ever broke her commitment, her house would be transferred into his name, future children she birthed would be given to him, and a letter addressed to social services stating she abused her nephews would be released.
I'm a contract attorney. I don't think this would stand up in court.
We but call this she doesn't know that, and the fear that this might happen is enough to keep to make her stay.
Yes. This is what we would call against public policy. I would say we would not enforce specific performance of this contract for that reason.
You'd be like, well, she signed a letter saying she would give this newborn over to him. So guess what? It's yours now.
You are the father now.
You leave with this baby now.
That, and what a coercive piece of crap.
Oh, yeah. So much brainwashing. While most of the scars from the DOS victims were internal, one was very much visible and became a constant reminder of the pain and suffering they endured. Much like a farmer brands his cattle to claim it as his own, members of DOS were forced to have a symbol burned into their skin by a cauterizing pen.
I'm out. Tap out.
As this is where you're done?
I mean, as if
this is where a lot of red flags went off for a lot of them. But again, they're in so deep already. And it's just like, you're going to stop now? You're going to give up now? Push through this and imagine how far you've come. And now if you just go one step further, how much better things are going to be
part
even
of
afterwards.
Inner harem.
Yeah, yeah. During these branding ceremonies, women were told to take off all their clothes and put on blindfolds. They were then led one by one to a sheepskin rug where they sat in a semicircle and waited to be taken to a room where they were held down on a table and branded near their pubic region with a white hot cauterizing pen.
Oh.
The abusive procedure lasted around 30 minutes, during which screams from members could be heard throughout the house and the smell of burning flesh permeated the air. Former member Sarah Edmondson later said,
I wept the whole time. I disassociated from my body.
She says that when she showed up to this, she was told she was going to be getting a tattoo.
Ooh.
And then quickly realized that is not what was happening.
Well, and in the videos, audio recording of Allison Mack and Keith Ranieri, because they're just thankfully so stupid that they left such a paper trail of all the thankfully
it's so stupid yet so arrogant,
such an arrogant,
like, this isn't a problem. I mean, and we'll never get caught even if it was.
Hours of them. And this is my other question, this is where you go back to, like, when is she culpable or not, of him going, you know, people might say that we coerced him, and she's like, well, maybe we should ask them or tell them that they, you know, that they should,
he's
say
getting
that they
her
want
to
it.
Say it like it's not his idea.
Or is she participating? I don't know. Do you like the power?
True. I don't know. In one recorded conversation between Mac and Ranieri, they decided branding ceremonies should feel like human sacrifice. Women would kneel and say,
Master, please brand me. It would be an honor. That was also his idea, so that he would be like, they asked for it.
Yeah. Sure, I didn't do anything they had didn't want. It was all consensual.
Pieces of collateral that I would release if they didn't agree to participate, but they asked
They also asked for it.
Yeah.
I wonder if those are also things that he does because in his sick, twisted brain, he feels like he's not responsible.
That's his argument in court that was not successful, but that his argument is that they all wanted it. They all wanted it. And I think...
But I'm saying I wonder if he really knows when he lies down at night and it's just him by himself that what he's doing is wrong. But the way he can sleep at night is he's saying, well, they're asking for it, so they must want it, so I'm really not doing anything wrong.
Almost kind of like mentally reconciling it in his own
mind. You're justifying
it
yourself because you know you're a sack of shit and you're trying to justify your behavior.
Also, yeah, and I always give people a little too much credit and assume that they think they're not going to get caught. But you're right. Maybe the whole, well, it shouldn't look like coercion because I feel bad about myself because his ego.
He was smart, even though he got a 2.26 GPA.
That's not judged.
Smart in covering some of his tracks or thinking he was covering some of his tracks.
But really just recording everything for the police to find.
But then he was a BFI when it came down to it.
They emailed and texted a lot.
Well, the women were told that the symbol represented the seven chakras, the four elements, or bar alpha mu, a combination of a mathematical symbol and two Greek letters. In actuality, the symbol was made up of both Ranieri's and Mac's initials.
If you turn it on its side, it's very clearly K-R-N-A-M.
Yes, and we will post a picture of it. It looks like a scar. It's nothing that's going to...
No.
Like, it's not
bloody.
Safe for work or anything. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it clearly looks like their initials.
Yeah. When you turn it on the side.
Well, everything started to unravel for the sex cult in October 2017. When the New York Times published an article in which details of DOS began to emerge, with former members claiming they had been blackmailed, starved, branded, and forced to have sex with their leader. Fearful of the legal repercussions, Ranieri and his harem of seven women packed up and moved to Mexico, where they took up residence in a gated community.
The U.S. and Mexico actually have pretty good law enforcement relations. So this
that's good.
Not a great place
to run
to.
Yeah, it wasn't a great place for him to go.
No.
In February of 2018, a warrant was issued for Ranieri's arrest, and by March, authorities had located him at the Puerto Vallarta luxury villa. According to an ex-member, Ranieri was preparing to have group sex with some of his slaves when police armed with machine guns burst into the Mexican compound.
That is a boner killer.
Yeah. Maybe. Some might, depending on what you're into.
I guess that's true. Maybe not.
A bunch of men storm in with guns. Some might pop a boner.
Who knows?
Lauren Salzman said she was terrified and was only concerned with protecting Keith. While the women were told to lie on the ground with their hands behind their back, Ranieri cowardly hid by himself in a closet. After a few minutes, he emerged and was taken into custody.
Ladies, protect me!
Lauren said they were preparing to have sex with him. She was in the kitchen making herself a smoothie.
A fuck smoothie?
Yeah, I guess so. And one of the lower level slaves, as she called them, ran in, freaking out, saying police are surrounding the compound. And Lauren said she immediately just went into, I have to protect Keith.
She dropped her smoothie.
She dropped the fruit
smoothie
everywhere. But how sad that she had already been so programmed to just protect him. That was her immediate reaction, was just protect him.
Yeah.
And they put him in this closet, were trying to hide him, and then she tried to prevent the cops from coming in. They're like, get out the way.
We're
coming in.
Yeah.
We got machine guns. Do you really want to do this?
Nope.
Ranieri was extradited back to the States and charged with seven counts, including racketeering, sex trafficking, conspiracy, forced labor, identity theft, sexual exploitation of a child, and possession of child pornography.
Dems is federal crimes. Mm. That is much worse.
Racketeering means crimes committed through extortion or coercion. The person charged attempts to obtain money or property from another person, usually through intimidation or force.
So this whole collateral thing was racketeering.
Very racketeering, yes.
And whole sign over your credit card to me was racketeering. And sign your bank account to me was racketeering.
And the child pornography came into play because he had pictures of himself in bed with the 15-year-old girls and the 12-year-old that he had been in a sexual relationship with, pictures of just them by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And child pornography does not have to mean little bitty kids. It can be a 15-year-old too.
Yeah, absolutely. Underage. Also, so this New York Times article comes out. They panic. They leave, go to Mexico. They just leave the house in Albany, and it is filled with evidence.
What idiots.
Hard drive after hard drive after hard drive and cell phones. And I want to say that it's on the ABC special and they explain that the like his password was really easy.
Just like password 123?
Like, yeah, like not or his birthday or
just
it was
sex
like
cult.
Something dumb. Yeah.
Yeah. Hair.
Yeah. Butt hair.
His password is what's my favorite Broadway play?
Hair.
Yeah. I'm killing it with these jokes that are taking you about 5 to 7 seconds to really register. But when they do, they're hitting really hard.
Oh, man.
Well, Ranieri wasn't the only one that was arrested and charged for the heinous crimes that had taken place. Authorities quickly learned who the power players within the cult were.
Because of all the text messages and emails.
And arrests and charges were made. In April 2018, Allison Mack was arrested on the same charges as Ranieri, and upon posting a $5 million bond, moved in with her parents where she was forced to wear an ankle monitor at all times.
She had to stay in the house for over a year.
That would drive me insane.
Over a year. After being in a fuck cult and getting to do whatever you want and you had slaves and stuff, it's back to reality.
Yeah, and you're with your parents, so that's kind of a...
It's kind of, I mean, it could be a bummer.
A wake-up call.
Yeah.
Initially, Mack entered a plea of not guilty, but soon changed her tune and pled guilty to charges of racketeering, conspiracy, extortion, and forced labor.
Because of all the text messages and emails. Yeah.
She was also charged with sex trafficking, but refused to plead to that. At her plea hearing in Brooklyn, Mack sobbed and claimed,
"I joined NXIVM first to find purpose. I was lost and wanted to find a place, a community in which I would feel comfortable."
She also said she was
truly very sorry
and added,
"I have come to the conclusion that I must take full responsibility for my conduct, and that's why I'm pleading guilty today."
Also because your lawyer said, "Girl, you have no chance."
Also because, the judges will not accept a guilty plea unless you take full responsibility for your conduct.
So you have to say, I'm fully responsible?
You can't say, "I plead guilty, but I didn't really do this. I'm just pleading guilty because my lawyer..." You have to say, "I did this. I am responsible. I accept responsibility," in order to usually get like a plea deal.
Reminds me of that Seinfeld where Jerry wants to return the shirt. They're like, "Why?" "Spite." It's I don't think spite. We take returns based on spite. "All right, well, then it just didn't fit." "No, you already said spite. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. You've already said spite."
It's like, we will not take this back unless you fully admit that there was nothing wrong or something wrong with it. You can't just say
spite.
Yeah.
Yeah, she couldn't just say, whatever. I mean, I plead guilty, whatever. It was just based on, I think at first she initially, you always plead guilty, not guilty at first because you want to see what the other side has as they prepare for trial and go through the discovery and motions and stuff. And then I think it was...
Within days, they're like, "Ugh, you should plead guilty to this."
They're only through like 4 boxes and there are 400 more. I mean, there's so much evidence against her. And the other thing was the evidence allegedly and then some of the stuff that came out in the Ranieri trial is like her sending smiley faces. That she's like excited. "Oh, I'm going to bring you another slave master. I'm so excited." Smiley face emoji. Yeah. It's horrifying. Yeah. It's disgusting behavior. But then to a jury, I think
it's not going to read well. Because she's not going to be a sympathetic figure to the jury.
I think you're exactly right. Because you have this, like we said, we can't really glean her emotional state or her mental state. Right. But through this evidence we have, and the evidence was that she was loving it. She was a big fan of the whole thing. She was whole hog into it and smiley face and all. And I think that was really not going to play well to a jury.
They would have had to do a lot of cleanup on she was a victim. She'd been brainwashed. Correct. She probably would have had to have testified.
Yes.
A lot of psychologists, psychiatrists, all sorts of stuff been called. And I don't think they would have won.
No.
Even if they'd gone through all of that.
It's overwhelming how much evidence they have.
Well, she's scheduled to be sentenced September 11th, 2019, and faces a maximum of 40 years in prison. What do you think is going to happen?
I mean, the thing is, they don't have to play ball here. It's not like they have.
Well, she took a plea deal.
She took a plea deal, so she probably won't get the maximum.
Yeah.
But they're not going to let her off lightly. She was a sex trafficker, basically.
Right, right.
I mean, she had slave labor. And some of the people were even more vulnerable because they were undocumented, non-citizens.
Yeah.
And she would threaten them with deportation and things like that. So
she'll get a few years at minimum.
I think she'll probably get like 5 to 15.
Yeah.
And she's already served one. She's serving time now. I mean, she may be out of jail in 3, but she's going to federal prison.
Yeah. Whew. That is no walk in the park.
No.
Well, shortly after Ranieri and Mack were arrested, federal agents raided Nancy Salzman's home, where they've seized $523,000 in cash.
There's always money in the Salzman house. Does she keep it in the walls? Where do you keep that much money?
Yeah, you'd have to have a whole guest room dedicated to this money.
God.
And then you got to like spray it down like Breaking Bad style so silverfish don't get on it.
Wait, what?
Haven't you seen Breaking Bad?
No, Paris and I just had this conversation.
I've never seen Breaking Bad?
No, but he explained the whole entire plot to me. It was very nice and helpful, so I didn't have to read it.
Did it take him years? Because that's how long the series was on.
It was like 8 minutes.
Okay, you should watch it because I'm sure he did a wonderful job explaining it, the Cliff Notes, but it's a fantastic series. One of my top five.
Okay.
Maybe top three.
Ooh.
But... yeah, they. Well, she's got a ton of. Okay. Yeah, that's true, but okay. It's still worth watching. But she has an entire storage unit filled with cash, and you got to go in there and spray it with
like bug?
Stuff so silverfish, so bugs don't get on it.
Do they eat it?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, yeah. Your money is getting eaten by bugs. Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
Several months after the raid, Salzman was also arrested and charged with racketeering, conspiracy, and identity theft. Salzman tearfully pled guilty to all charges, admitting to stealing email addresses and passwords of suspected moles within the organization and ordering certain videotapes to be doctored. Her sentencing is scheduled for July. So those are lesser charges.
Yes.
So she'll probably still get maybe a couple months or something, or maybe
at least
just
maybe like 1 to 5 years.
Ankle monitor stuff.
I would think more than that.
Do they have to sentence them? Yeah. To time in jail?
There are certain sentencing guidelines that the federal probation office is the one that decides. So you would get appealed, I would assume. Well, I guess you can't really appeal a guilty plea. But it says in there, if they did X crime, if they don't seem like they're really, they're not taking responsibility,
remorseful.
They're not remorseful or whatever, then you have to. I saw a lady get 3 months in jail. She was a postal worker. She got 3 months in federal prison for stealing a $25 Target gift card because that is like mail fraud. Like she tampering, whatever. It's like tampering with the mail and she's crying and everything. And the probation person's like, listen, I'm sorry. And this sucks. And it was a $25 gift card, but the sentencing is like minimum three. And
so you really, even if you're like, this is really a bit much for this, we have to do it because this is what the law
it's
says.
Part of the guidelines, yeah, you know? And that's there's a whole I could talk for days about mandatory minimum sentences and how they were passed with absolutely racist motives. But there are still absent state, and that's usually for state law crimes or federal drug crimes. A lot of those have mandatory minimums that are in some places being repealed or not followed by judges, but there are at least guidelines.
Yeah.
So you would say, okay, well, she's not just charged with racketeering. She's charged with racketeering and conspiracy and identity theft. And there may be multiple counts under each charge.
Right.
And from that,
so that's gonna
they're not going to just let her out.
Rack it up, yeah.
Yeah, she'll, like I said, maybe 1 to 3 years, 3 to 5 years.
Wow.
I don't know.
Well, Lauren Salzman also pleaded guilty to racketeering conspiracy charges in March and admitted she had knowing and intentionally harbored a woman named Daniela in a locked room for more than 2 years, threatening to deport her to Mexico.
Yeah, again, none of these facts are very good for these defendants.
No. During Ranieri's trial, Daniela testified that her entire family moved from Mexico to join NXIVM. Ranieri engaged in sexual conduct not only with Daniela and her older sister, but also with their youngest sister, who was under the age of consent. When Daniela confessed to Ranieri that she was attracted to another man, she was sentenced to 2 years of solitary confinement in a room for being prideful.
This is false imprisonment.
Yeah, this is straight up.
Yeah.
This is wild. This is like a crazy Disney plot.
Oh, like you've been locked in
the
tower.
Yeah, like you've been locked in a tower. You got to wait for someone to come rescue you.
This is a vulnerable person who's from Mexico, who's undocumented. They're threatened to deport her. Her family's with her.
Yeah.
She sucked her family into this. I mean, can you just imagine how scared she is?
She's terrified.
Locked in a room.
So sad.
By these monsters.
Well, thankfully, Daniela's father and another family member eventually broke her out and drove her back to the Mexican border so she could escape. So that's how she had to escape, was go back across the border.
Basically,
into her own country.
Run.
Salzman is scheduled to be sentenced in September.
Maybe they'll put mother and daughter in an adjoining cell.
What a nice bonding session.
Yeah, we'll both go to federal penitentiary together.
In 2018, Claire Bronfman was arrested and charged with racketeering, identity theft in order to access other people's computers, encouraging and inducing illegal entry, and money laundering. She was released on $100 million bond.
That is somebody that's got money and they know it.
Is that why they do that?
Yeah.
I mean, max was $5 million.
Yes.
And arguably her charges were worse.
Correct.
But they just look at, this person can afford this, so we're going to make them do it?
Yeah, they usually look at, and the prosecutor will argue and say, or the U.S. attorney will argue and say, this person has unlimited wealth and resources, surrender, make them surrender their passport if you're going to go out on bond. Because what happens is if you're out on bond and you skip off, then they...
To her private island that they had?
Correct.
They were private island money rich.
Ooh!
Yeah.
But then you lose your bond money. Well, they can afford to lose $100 million. Yeah. So that maybe would be
$5 million would be chump change. Oh,
she'd go to the private island.
Yeah.
Easily.
Okay. Upon pleading guilty to conspiring to conceal and harbor an undocumented immigrant for financial gain and fraudulent use of identification, the Seagram's heiress added,
I am truly remorseful.
She's scheduled to be sentenced in July.
Throw her ass in jail. I'm sorry. I'm starting to lose it with these folks. I mean, they locked women in rooms. They burned them.
Part of my brain is like they were also victims. The other part of my brain is they were also monsters. And I think those two things don't have to be mutually exclusive. I think that both those things can be true.
And I think there's a point that you tip your toe outside of victimness and you step into the monster role kind of more fully.
Yeah.
And what I... Maybe a litmus test is the ones that the government looked at all the evidence and said, listen, they were knowingly, willingly locking people up.
Yeah, for 2 years. That's a long time.
You have to take responsibility for actions.
Somehow, her sister Sarah hasn't been charged.
And I wonder if Sarah was just writing checks and wasn't as hands-on.
Yeah. She did lawyer up when all this happened, mm-hmm. but so far she hasn't been charged,
that's
which I'm
sure
advice. Claire's like, of course Sarah wasn't charged.
Sarah.
Second to Sarah. The last person that was charged, Kathy Russell, the former bookkeeper for Nexium, pled guilty to one count of visa fraud. She made false statements regarding the visa application of a nanny and faces 6 to 12 months in prison.
So
it wasn't just him that got taken down.
No.
I mean, rightfully so. These people did have a huge role in this and have to be held accountable.
I think so. That's, like I said, it's hard for me to really, you know, morally sort through
it. It's a hard one to wrap your brain around.
Because legally, they're culpable, right?
Yeah.
And like morally, they were.
Yeah.
Like I said, there's got to be a line. There's got to be a point where you just start to step a little bit outside of victimhood and start to like it and start to want to do it.
Yeah. But we'll never know where that was. Mm-mm. Only they know that, if they even do.
But someone whose guilt is just completely, there's no question.
Well, the only one to go to trial was Ranieri. On May 7th, 2019, his trial began, in which he was pleading not guilty to all charges. The trial was held under extremely secure circumstances, normally the kind of security measures reserved for terrorists and drug lords. The jurors' names were withheld from the media and public, and the entire jury was transported to and from the proceedings in white, unmarked vans driven by U.S. Marshals. Witnesses were also only identified by their first names for fear of repercussions by other Nexium members.
Because they're still hanging out in Albany. There are still some faithful members.
I mean, this is just his inner circle are the ones that got taken down. There's still hundreds of women that are in this program that are...
Like it or don't like
that
it.
Are still, that are probably on the fence. Do I stay? Do I go? The evidence against Ranieri was staggering. The government had seized documents, email and text messages, audio and video recordings, as well as the testimony of over a dozen people, including several of his former slaves.
They really had kind of everything. Regarding the branding, there was texting between him and the slaves, as they called them, that said, how would you feel about me branding you? And they said, like a cow?
We love it. Please.
What?
Oh, they didn't want it.
She's like, what? Like a cow? Why would you do that? And it's like, he's kind of convincing them.
Mm.
So, I don't know. It was a lot. And the testimony was heartbreaking for some of these women.
His defense attorney argued,
you might find a lot of things about him distasteful.
And that Ranieri's activities may seem
repulsive, disgusting, and offensive, but most of them are not part of the charges. Not everything that is offensive translates to a crime.
Which is true, but a lot of what he did absolutely translates
to a
crime.
Was 100% racketeering and coercion and sexual exploitation of a minor.
Absolutely.
To a T.
On the other hand, U.S. Attorney Richard P. Donahue argued,
Ranieri, who portrayed himself as a savant and a genius, was in fact a master manipulator and a huge butthole.
I added that last part.
Oh, I hope he said it. The majority,
Your Honor, could this be on the record, please?
I'd like Ranieri. To go on record calling Ranieri a huge butthole.
I read his Yahoo text Yahoo messages.
The majority of the trial focused on Ranieri's actions as they related to DOS. During the fifth week of the trial, a former member, referred to only as Nicole, testified she had been recruited by Mac and was told that she was expected to do anything that Ranieri asked, adding that Mac said,
"Now go be a good slave."
Ugh, gross.
See, I just, behavior like that, it seems that she should plead guilty to federal crimes and go to jail.
Yeah, but she's refusing to plead guilty to that one.
To the sex trafficking part.
But so even though she's refusing to plead guilty to that, she can still be brought up on charges for it.
They if could. Someone, I bet part of the plea deal is that they won't.
Well, yeah, it said her plea deal was it by playing she wasn't going to be charged with the more egregious and damning charges. So I guess she won't be charged with it then.
Yeah, unless there's some other evidence that comes out. But I think it was everything was kept in that house.
So even if former people more came out and said all this evidence against her and wanted to sue her. They couldn't because she'd already been...
You can civilly sue somebody all day long.
Okay.
This only also...
Maybe that's what'll happen.
I was going to say, and this only applies to... And this is what other people had said whenever the arrests were first made by the federal government, that they could still potentially be brought up on state law charges for other things. So say they said specifically, Allison Mack is charged with, you know... coercion and racketeering regarding Jane Doe 12345, who the U.S. Attorney's Office defines as, you know, five individuals who they know, but they're just, you know, keeping their name secret. And some sort of evidence comes out that there were 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 that she didn't get charged for. Mm-hmm. Then theoretically, a state level county prosecutor could go, you know, we think you raped these women. And it would be a state charge. But racketeering, coercion, sex trafficking, and the harboring, the stuff that has to do with visa and immigration, all those are federal crimes. Mm-hmm. So anything that they did that would run afoul of state crimes, and some states have like cybersecurity law stuff where if you hack somebody's email, that's a state law crime too. It's also a federal charge. But if you basically can't get charged twice for the same action.
Yeah. Double jeopardy.
Well, that would be charged twice in the same, like charged twice in the same venue for the same action.
Okay.
But I think all day long they could go after him for state stuff too. Mm. So I don't think she's in the clear.
Yeah.
And then civilly, if they like, so one of the members died.
Yeah.
And Ranieri and Mac had access to her bank account and drained, what, $300,000 from a bank account and charged $100,000 on the credit card. I don't see why the estate couldn't go after Ranieri and Mac and sue them civilly and say, you know, you misappropriated my dead family member's funds.
And I have to imagine someone's going to go after the Bronfmans.
Oh,
I mean, why wouldn't
there's pockets.
Yeah, there's so much money to be had there.
Well, they always say you can't get blood from a turnip. I think Ranieri probably doesn't really have any money left. Allison Mack maybe gets Smallville residuals, but
it's probably all gone to her lawyer fees.
Yeah, and now the Bronfmans, man.
But they've got deep pockets, like you said.
Cha-ching, cash register machine. Mm-hmm. That was the cash Private register. Only. Tommy's going to edit it in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It'd be great.
Well, Nicole's testimony went on to say that Ranieri had blindfolded her, taken her to an unknown house, ordered her to take off her clothes, and then tied her wrists and ankles to a table. He then circled the table, asking her personal questions about her sexual history. Terrified and confused, Nicole said she tried to answer the embarrassing questions when a third party began to perform oral sex on her.
So then if she is tied down and she says, "Don't do this, untie me, let me go," and they don't, then that's rape. And that's a state offense.
So if that comes out later, then charges of rape could also be put on the table.
I think so. I think it would be whatever in Albany, whatever the county is in Albany. The reason why they were tried in Brooklyn is that's where the federal court is.
Gotcha. Nicole's testimony provided some of the most damning evidence to support the charge of sex trafficking. And at the end of his 6-week trial, the jury took about a half a day to convict Ranieri on all counts. His sentencing will take place September 25th, 2019. He faces up to life in prison.
I think he'll get a pretty hefty sentence.
I don't think he'll get life, but I think he will get a hefty 30 to 50 years.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's pretty terrible.
Yeah, he's going to have a time of it in prison.
I think so. Once they figure out he's not only this like idiot cult leader, but and you know he's gonna
run his damn mouth and act like he owns the place.
He's got a punchable face.
Oh, very.
It's not gonna be great for him. And then when they find out that he sexually exploited minors and kids and child pornography,
that's prison code.
They're gonna take him out of, you know, he's gonna have to probably be
they'll
in
have
solitary.
Their way with him. Yeah.
It'll be not.
I'm sure he'll be in solitary.
They'll have to. Yeah.
Well, so what do we think?
Like I said, my whole...
It's a hard one to wrap your head around.
It's that moralistic question, like, when does culpability take a hold? Like, when can you be absolved of the liability or culpability for your actions and your behaviors?
Just because one's a victim doesn't mean that they aren't culpable.
My parents hit me, so I hit my kids.
Yeah.
You know? My parents didn't hit me, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
People say that
sure,
or whatever.
Sure.
So, you know, it's the cycle of abuse or whatever. So, I don't...
It's weird because of all the brainwashing tactics and everything that goes on.
And isolation. And financially, she's tied to him. And
I mean, they were definitely, these women that were charged and arrested were definitely victims.
As well.
But imagine all these hundreds of other victims that
lost tons.
What do they do now?
Tons of money, tons of time, their dignity, their autonomy.
Some of them are still in it. This cult is still going on.
So they said people in Albany said they drive around in their BMWs and their Lululemons.
Yeah.
And you still see them.
So even after all this, there are those that...
True believers.
...that don't believe a word of it. And that's how deep into it they are.
Or believe a word and go, yeah, that's what we do. That's fine.
Or they're okay with it. Yeah.
It's tough.
It is. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see the sentencings when those come out. Yeah. Probably do an update once that happens.
Definitely. So
who knows? Well, let us know what you guys think.
Yeah, what do you think, man? When do you think culpability
attaches? It's a hard moral question.
I think it is.
Yeah. Well, many of you have asked if we have a Patreon where you can donate to the show. We do. Our show will always remain free, but if you wish to donate to help offset the cost of making and hosting the show, you can visit sinisterhood.com and click on Patreon in the top right corner. You can get some sweet perks like Patreon-exclusive content, a Sinisterhood sticker, membership to our exclusive Patreon Facebook group, a special shout-out on the show, and a monthly bonus minisode. We just released two minisodes.
Because May, we didn't have any power.
Yes.
So you got May and June in June. Sorry
and
about that.
They were real fun. Bloody Mary was one.
We had a lot of fun reminiscing about being wild kids and the stupid thing. One of the most embarrassing things I've ever revealed. I was sweating. I was so embarrassed. I was so embarrassed to say that.
We also did our top fives, which included our top five scariest movies, unsolved crimes,
and top five urban legends.
Where Heather also sweat.
I screamed.
When I recalled a scary urban legend, she straight up screamed in the middle of it.
I straight up screamed. I got goosebumps and then screamed.
Yeah.
And I had heard it before.
And we've had several patrons message saying I had to turn it off because I got so scared.
It was so scary.
Which I thought it was a fun episode. I didn't think it was scary, but some of the stories they're fun scary though.
Well, and again, a very stupid, embarrassing urban legend, I believe, that was also very dumb and embarrassing.
Oh, wow.
But yours
was
actually
interested
scary.
To hear what those are, go to Patreon and sign up. We'd love your support. And make sure if you are a Patreon that recently signed up to stick around after our sign-offs to hear your shout-out.
And some of you have seen our awesome Sinisterhood merch sported by myself and Christy, as well as some of our awesome listeners. If you want your very own Sinisterhood merch, head to sinisterhood.com and click shop in the top right corner. We have t-shirts, hoodies, long sleeve baseball tees, mugs, bags, baby clothes, all kinds of cool stuff. So if you want to look just as great as we do in our cool Sinisterhood shirts, which are just really soft and I probably wear
it's very comfy.
I wear more often than I should, honestly, for
good
a shirt,
brand.
A show that I'm on. Head to sinisterhood.com. And click shop in the top right corner.
Well, the best thing you can do to help us grow is like, review, and subscribe on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcast. And please tell a friend who you think would like us to check us out. It means so much to us and really helps small podcasts like us get more exposure.
You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Sinisterhood Pod and like us on Facebook and Sinisterhood. Christy, where are you at on the computers?
I am on the computers, on Instagram computers at Christy M. Wallace and on Twitter computers at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
You can find me on Instagram at Heather VS The World and on Twitter at MCK VS The World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
And keep it creepy. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for supporting the show on Patreon. Here are your Patreon shoutouts. Jeff Garlish.
Thank you, Jeff.
We love you.
Adrian.
Angela Moreau.
Dragon BB.
Dana Bookstein.
Liz Prince.
Jen Long.
Aaron.
And Jill Podkoleski.
Thank you so much, guys. We appreciate it so, so much.
And keep your eye out for your Sinisterhood stickers, which will be in the mail soon.
Keep it creepy.
Sinisterhood.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
Hey, Bowen, point of order. It feels like nothing is what it says it is anymore.
Point of answer. It's because everything has a catch.
Hey, or turns out to be something else entirely.
Like a total catfish situation.
Exactly, Bo.
Except for hotels.com.
Yeah, that one's pretty literal.
Because it's hotels.com. It's in the domain. You go there, you book hotels, hundreds of thousands of them.
And hold up, that's... it?
That's it. Hmm. And when stays are booked as a member, rewards are earned every time.
Every stay?
Every stay. No tracking or managing, just rewards that can be used like cash on future bookings.
Which, by the way, already feels nicer than most rewards programs. Okay.
Yeah. Members can also get up to 20% off bookings, so savings start right away.
Does that mean no weird restrictions?
And no blackout dates. Book what works when it works. It's actually really fitting of real travel.
So the name is honest, you're saying? And the rewards are too.
Exactly. Hotels.com. It's all in the name.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
If you like your true crime, like you like your coffee,
Red Handed is the podcast for you.
It's dark, intense, and might just keep you up all night.
I'm Hannah.
I'm Saruti. And every week on Red Handed, we break down a different fascinating case.
From the most recent US trials everyone is obsessing over, like Brendan Banfield, Karen Reed, and Ellen Greenberg,
to the most unbelievable stories from around the world, there's nothing we love more than digging into every detail of the cases we cover, getting beyond a basic analysis and cutting to the heart of the story.
Red Handed has over 400 episodes ready to binge right now.
Plus, be sure to check out our weekly sister show, Shorthand, where we unpack everything from the Black Death to Area 51.
If you're looking for smart, detailed true crime with personality, check out Red Handed wherever you get your podcasts.